Welcome to the Heart Matters Podcast with your host, Ibn Leon. Join us as we explore the intricacies of spirituality and self-improvement. Gain a fresh perspective on enhancing your spiritual, emotional, and mental well-being through the fusion of spirituality and self-improvement. Enjoy Ibn's engaging conversations with guests from diverse backgrounds. They share unique perspectives on personal growth and holistic health. From spiritual leaders to relationship experts, entrepreneurs to creatives, each episode delivers knowledge and inspiration. Tune into the Heart Matters Podcast for profound conversations and practical advice, empowering you to live your best life. Chapter 5, Inspiring Stories. Hello, everybody, and welcome to another episode of The Heart Matters. I am your host, relationship coach Lewis Morris. It is my belief that the vessel, meaning the heart, can only pour out that which it contains. Therefore, it is upon us to put those things that are good and beneficial into the heart in order for it to emanate those things out into the world to attract the people and things that will enhance our lives. I got another fantastic guest on today. Miss Simone Jackson is here. Simone Johnson is here. I was thinking about Janet. Simone Johnson is here. Yeah, Simone is the founder. Simone is the founder and CEO of Style by Simone Johnson. And she is a relationship and personal coach, which is why I really wanted to have her on this program, because I like people who are out there trying to help others. And she is the creator of Dear Future Husband, Dear Wife, which is an excellent club on Clubhouse. If you can get over there and join that club, then do that, because she holds some powerful spaces over there. And we really appreciate her insight. You know, she's smart and focused and all of these things. She is also a bridal fashion stylist who invests in spiritual leadership and motivational speakers. Welcome, Simone Johnson, to The Heart Matters, everyone. How you doing, Simone? You all right?
I'm doing amazing, Lewis. Thank you so very much for having me. I am humbled by this opportunity. Listen, every opportunity is such a blessing, because saying yes to this posture of what I'm called to do is something that I do not take lightly. So every time I'm given an opportunity to connect with someone and speak to someone, I'm just like, wow. This is happening. So I do not take this opportunity lightly. So thank you so very much for having me.
Yeah, you're very welcome. Okay, let's talk about Dear Future Husband, Dear Wife.
Yes.
Because you spoke about this in the room.
Yes.
I didn't want to mention it to you, you know, in the room, because I wanted to save it for this space.
Okay.
Know? But you mentioned that you struggled with doing that. It was not something that you were inclined to do at first. So what changed your mind? Why did you decide to take that leap and do that?
You know what? My faith, I always attribute to everything to my faith. The quote that I live by is, God don't call the qualified. He qualifies the call. And I feel like so often we self-sabotage ourselves because we're looking at our qualifications, or we're looking at what others are doing, and we're thinking, well, I can't do that, or maybe I'm not a good fit for that, or I don't have the degrees and I don't have these things. So we automatically think that we are not qualified for the things that we're instructed to do, because we're looking at other people and thinking, well, they're doing it like this and they're doing it like that, not realizing that we have something to offer. We all have something different to contribute. And it's not to be intimidated by what everybody else is doing. It's just about walking in your own uniqueness. And that within itself will cause people to attract to you. So I think it's just coming to terms with the fact that, hey, You're your own unique individual, and the people that you're assigned to are not the people that they're assigned to. So just ride the waves and just go with it.
Mm. All right. So when you were making this decision, what did you talk to some people, you know, where they, you know, where they gave you some advice and things like that?
No.
No,
that was the crazy thing is it was just a friend of mine was getting ready and they're like, I want you to host. And I was like, I really just believe that. Listen, we have so many spiritual rooms. We have so many different things on Clubhouse. We need practicalities. What happens when you don't have the practicalities to be able to do the things that you need to do? What do you do when you've been prayed over or prophesied to? Sometimes you need those practicalities in order to be like, hey, this is what I'm dealing with. How do I speak to you? Because oftentimes, you know, man of God and woman of God, they're not as easily accessible. And there are practical questions that you really want to have answered that you're just like, so I was just like, I'm like, no, I don't want to start another spiritual room. I'm like, let's do a room. And they're like, okay, what do you want to call them? Like, dear future husband, dear future wife. And I was like, oh, that just kind of rolled off my tongue. And I was like, oh, okay. So I really just, it wasn't planned. It wasn't anything. It just flowed. And I just went along with it.
Wow. All right, so why did you name it dear future husband, dear future wife? What is this here? What is this about?
Listen, everyone's being prophesied to. I've been in a lot of spaces. I've also been prophesied to, hey, your husband's coming. And it's like, okay, once you receive the prophecy, what's next? My husband's coming, but what does that look like? What does the preparational process look like? So I felt like I wanted to be a contribution to what happens once you've received the prophecy that a husband or a wife is coming. So dear future husband, dear future wife is really the extension of, okay, I've been waiting, I've been preparing. Well, not even preparing for those who have not been preparing, but for those who have been preparing as well. This is a relationship hub that you can come to and get insight and relationship tips and date night tips and just little things that can assist you along the way.
Wow. I love it. Yeah, because, you know, I came up in there and I was like, you know, yeah.
And we appreciate you because when you're in the room, listen, we need our men. And that's what I find. Like these spaces, the people that really need the information are not in these spaces. And it's so unfortunate because I've seen the rooms where there's such great dialogue. So, you know, I try to hold on to you when you're in the space because I'm like, listen, we need to hear from the men and the men need to hear from other men. So I love when the men are in the room because it really gives us an opportunity to just speak and flow in dialogue. So I absolutely love just our males being in the space.
Okay. All right. So let's talk about the style because we was, you know, y'all got on me the other night, you know, and it was great though. My boo was like, what do you think about that? I was like, I just had fun with it, you know,
because it was amazing.
It was so great, you know what I'm saying? It was really so great. You know, a lot of people came into the room and it just, you know, talking about clothes and fashion. It was beautiful. Yes. It was something light, beautiful. So tell us how you got into that. Why did you want to get into style and fashion? What brought this about?
You know what's crazy? Fashion for me has always been a natural thing. It was just effortlessly something that I was raised being told, like, fashion is just your thing. Like, my mom would always say, you have this je ne sais quoi when it comes to fashion. And I was like, I didn't really own that until I got older and people were like, there's just something about the way you carry yourself. And I was just like, okay, everybody carries yourself in some kind of manner. And I was just like, okay, I keep hearing this. And the fact that I keep hearing this, there has to be some truth to what this is. And I just started to kind of go out to events and sign up to events and reach out to events. So when I initially started, I would actually reach out to folks and I'm like, hey, I'll fly myself out. And just so I can be a part of these big projects. And because of that, taking a huge leap of faith and saying, hey, I'll come out. I have traveled to some amazing places and worked with some big names in the industry. as a result of me saying, well, let me tap into this. No one knows who Simone Johnson is. But once they see me work, they don't know who I am because I'm a hard worker. And so I started getting into fashion, and I've done production management, backstage management, styling, and just different things. And I was just like, okay. But within that, people would always observe me because even as I'm showing up in the simplest of ways, there was a fashion uniqueness to who I was that it caught people's attention. Like no matter what room I was in, there was always something. It was either the eyewear that I had on or my shoes or just the outfit and how I placed the colors together that people were just like, oh, I never thought to put that together. And I was just like, okay, I'm just humbled by the fact that I'm like, I don't know. I just put colors. I love colors. I'm like, Kelly, I love colors. I love patterns. So I'll just put things together and I'm just like, okay, it's great. So that really opened up the doorway for different things. I went to school for event planning, but I wasn't big on wedding planning. I just didn't love it as much. And I worked at David's Bridal. So then I realized, okay, this can really become something. I can merge fashion and the love for weddings together. And as a launch, and as they came together and they launched, they really created a bridal fashion stylist.
Mm.
And that's like where we are today. So everything really intertwines with what I do, because I believe that even with their future husband, their future wife, we're going to have women getting married and they need to be styled and they need to, you know, pick up a merchandise and pick up something from what it is that I offer. So everything I feel like collectively, you know, go together.
Yeah. All right. Okay. All right. So let's talk about this, dear future husband. What is going on? You know, so why, you know, why your husband ain't here yet? Where is this?
Oh, geez. You know,
look, Simone, this is a relationship show. So I got to cut into it. I got to cut into it now. You know, where is he at? What's going on here?
Oh my gosh, he's here. I wanna confidently say he's here. However, he needs some work. He needs some work, and I'm going through the process of doing the work of initially my idea, hence why I'm so passionate about relationships and marriages, because we have these ideas in our head of what relationship ought to be. We have these ideas, and I'll be honest with myself, when I was expecting a mate, I expected someone that had a lot less flaws and imperfection. And I really just thought it was going to be like Instagram love and vacations and, you know, a lot of reels, but it really has not been that, because when you're two people who are called for a purpose and an assignment is on your life, you will have to go through the pruning process. And as a result of going through that process, I'm learning more and more about the process. Hence why I'm so passionate about, listen, you are going to have to do some work when it comes to your mate. He's not going to come perfect. So there is someone in question, and I'm believing that this is the one and trusting that it's the one. And yeah, so there's someone in question.
Okay. All right. All right, so last night we had a room on the Heart Matters Club,
yes, right,
which is my club, you know, it's named after, yes, this podcast here. And we were talking about the 49% divorce rate.
Yes.
Right? Yes. So then the doctor came on.
Whew, yes.
And she was like, it's higher than that.
It is. It's definitely higher than that.
She said it's higher than that. And she gave the three separate categories of the people who are not in the divorce statistics. So I don't know if you were in the room, you know, but she gave the three separate categories. We're gonna have her on to talk about all that stuff too, because she was excellent. So when you mention ideas, people have ideas about marriage, you know what I'm saying? Do you think that this is a stumbling block once they get married, because the ideas that they have, yes, are not coming to fruition? They're not they're realizing that, no, it's not like that. Is that absolutely part of the problem?
Yes. Oh my gosh. Absolutely. People get into they're about that 30-minute ceremony, and they're about the wedding pictures, and they're about this beautiful day, but they did not sign up for, hey, he's about to be sick. hey, she's about to be sick, or she might not be able to conceive. And you're going to be going through that for 10, maybe 13 years. He's about to lose his job, or he's going to believe in something that you're like, I cannot see it. And I got to continue. Like, we don't know what test is going to come our way. And you are never completely prepared for that. You never know what's going to hit your relationship. You never know what's going to hit your marriage. And I think that people, especially people who don't believe in therapy or don't think that they should go to therapy or premarital counseling, there are some things that you are going to withstand in a relationship that you are going to need a great support system, a great tribe in order to get through those things. And not that I ever want people to focus on the not so good part, but I want you to have a good understanding that there's some good and there's some bad. That's why they say for richer or for poorer, for good and for bad, there, that is a real thing.
Okay. All right. So let's stay on that, because this is a big peeve for me.
Yeah.
Because I believe, as a relationship coach, I believe that what you see on social media and things like that is contributing largely to people's ideas of marriage. They yes. see the good yes. stuff. They see the good stuff on Instagram. They see the good stuff. So they think that marriage is going to be flowery. You know what Absolutely. I'm saying? It's gonna, you know, so I mean, how do we as coaches, you know, saying what, you know, we have to dispel this myth without making our clients feel like that there's no hope. You know what I'm saying?
Absolutely.
So can you speak to that, how we touch that middle ground with clients who come to us for premarital coaching?
Well, the important thing is they want to definitely consider premarital counseling. And if your partner is not interested in premarital counseling, I feel like that's a major flag, because it's very important to have a neutral individual come between you two and discuss, hey, these are your views on this. Like, I know for myself personally, I had to learn, now I'm not going through premarital counseling. However, I had to learn that not everything required a response. We as women, we're emotional creatures. So naturally we got to say what we got to say. We got to get it out, and we need you to hear us now. So I think it's being able to discipline ourselves. And I feel like if we're not silencing the voice that you have as male and females, what we're really doing is just giving you strategies and ways how to build and cope better for when the times are not as you expected. So it's having the right coping mechanisms in order to handle situations when they come about.
Wow. All right. Mm. Okay. All right. So the doctor mentioned one of the categories of people who are not on the divorce statistics. She says that there are people who are in the house, right? And but they sleep in separate rooms, right?
Yes.
And they're only doing that for financial purposes. They're keeping That's the common. Marriage together for financial purposes. There's no, yeah. you know, there's no connection there. There's nothing there anymore. It's over. So yes. she says that, like, This is the marriage is over. It's, mm-hmm. it's technically a divorce. It's just they haven't yeah. done it on paper. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
What is your take about people who take that particular position instead of going all the way with the divorce?
I feel like, especially if there's children involved, one of the things that causes people to hold on a lot of times is their children involved. And I tell people all the time, you really don't want to hold on to a relationship because children are involved. Because here's what we don't realize. Children know. They know and they pick up, and they are more aware than we realize. So when we think that they don't see and they know, because oftentimes as we get older, we're like, we knew that you guys were not happy, and we knew because daddy would be on the phone talking to a girl or something, or we would go out with daddy and there's a girl with us having ice cream. So I feel like I understand people hold on to these dynamics because of family dynamics. They want everyone to look at them like they have this picture perfect life. They want to be looked at as, you know, we got it all together. It's for that face value. Like, no, we're working it out. So no, we don't want to separate. So I think it's more or less about, well, I don't want people to know that our relationship, especially if you spoke a certain way, or especially if people thought like, oh my God, you guys had a great relationship. How did you guys break up? So you don't want to give anybody the indication that, wait a minute, y'all marriages didn't make it through the tough times. I really thought with such a big day and, you know, you had this person and that, like, really? So sometimes people hold on to that for children, for the fact that they're just like, I don't want people to know that we're going through this.
Wow. Okay. All right. So we're going to get back to that because I got, we had to get back to that, but we got to talk to this because I had a potential client, the husband contacted me, right?
Oh, okay.
And they were having some problems and they were serious. They were not deal breakers, but it was just based on lack of communication and people were, you know, one of them was telling a lot of lies, right? So the husband got in touch with me, and then I met with both of them, the husband and the wife, right? But when the wife got on the call, right, she said, listen, you know, the God stuff, we can't do the God stuff. I don't believe in all that. So I'm on the call. I'm saying to myself, oh, well, that's what the problem is. This is what I'm saying on the call. Literally, this is what I'm saying. I'm not saying, I didn't say that to them, but I'm saying to myself, oh, that's the problem. That's the crutch of the issue. You know what I'm saying? Because it is our belief. I know you believe the same way, that you have to have a connection to the creator of the heavens and the earth.
Absolutely. That's our not.
Because he is the one who is going to make things right. We can do what we do, but we are limited. We're human beings. He doesn't have limitations like that. He fixes things, and no one can stop him from doing that. So, could you speak to the importance of people having this connection in their lives?
Listen, it is, but you know what? Because of everyone's belief. It's like, you know, if you don't believe in the higher power, if you don't, like for me, it's mandatory. I knew for me, it was important for me to have a partner that we are equally yoked. And these are the questions, the premarital questions that you got to go through. This is why premarital counseling is so important, because you need to identify these things before. You cannot fix these things after. If you knew that we were both unequally balanced when it came to religion, it's not going to change once you get into marriage. They say that, you know, the things that are just a little, you know, the things get heightened once you get into a marriage. So the things that were okay, they were cute. The minute that we get together and we start living together, what was once cute is no longer cute. You now got to deal with these things. So if she didn't go to church or she didn't feel like she trusted in God, she's definitely not going to start believing. Now, I do feel like, you got to have that third knot. You got to have that third knot. And for me, my third knot is God. In order for me to even sustain and walk through this relationship that I'm currently in, I have to constantly incorporate God, because if I don't incorporate God, there's going to be a lot of frustration. And when you incorporate God, you're able to manage and handle situations that the natural eye cannot manage, because we wrestle not with flesh and blood, but principalities and dark places. So we're wrestling not with the person we see. We're wrestling with childhood stuff. We're wrestling with trauma. We're wrestling with how mommy and daddy did things and how they were raised. And having a relationship with God for me helps for you to see, okay, I'm not really dealing with him. I'm dealing with a version of him that was rejected when he was younger. So now the adult, the little boy wounds are showing up in the man, and that's what I'm really dealing with. So, but if you don't have a relationship, you're just going to constantly, relationship with God, you're constantly going to be going through frustration. And I get it. Everybody believes in a different version of God, or they have different religious belief. But at the end of the day, because I believe in God, the higher power, then I understand that I have the ability to get in my prayer closet and say, God, I'm not sure how to manage this. I don't know. So you got to give me the strategy. And male or female is able to do that.
I love it. Yeah. This is how I'm coming, man. Because, yeah, this, yeah, I'm coming with this thing all the time. Because it's essential. It is absolutely essential. Okay, because another thing that I mentioned recently, I think I mentioned it on the video, right? And I said one of the important reasons that, yeah, and I mentioned it in my book too, right? I said one of the important reasons why you need that connection is because he is the one who is all wise. He has all of the wisdom. So the more you're connected to him, you know what I'm saying? You benefit, you gain wisdom by being connected to the one who has it all. So you can see things, you know, you see things in a proper way because you're blessed with certain wisdom because of your connection to him. You know what I'm saying? So it is so vital. And I get it. I understand that there are people who don't believe in God. I get it.
Yes.
You know what I'm saying? But I don't think it's a good thing. You know what I'm saying? I don't think it's good.
Because it helps. I can tell you it helps because I know for me, if it wasn't for having that relationship with God, I would have definitely thrown in the towel because I'm just like, I don't understand the things that I'm seeing. I don't understand the things that I'm having to walk through. But as God continues to show me something, I can be like, okay, so I'm dealing with this. Let me put that in my prayer and start dealing with that, not necessarily the person, but deal with the issue. And I'm reading this book currently, and it's called Prayers of a Wife. It's gonna come to me. And it's teaching us as wives. While I'm not a wife, I believe the preparational stages starts by you reading what wives are having to walk through and things that they're having to go through. And in this book, I'm going to find the book. She talks really about, hey, there are some things that that she's taught me that I'm like, I didn't really pay attention to that. But because of her praying life, she was able to manage situations. And there were times that she still wanted to walk away from the relationship. But because of the fact that she was a praying wife, it helped her to be able to get through the challenges and the oppositions that she went through.
Mm. All right. So let's go back and talk a little bit about the miserable marriage, because that's what that is. If you're sleeping in, you know, separate rooms, or you sleeping in the same bed and you touch each other and stuff like that. This is not what God intended for the marriage ties.
Have they considered counseling? Have they gone to therapy?
Well, she said what the doctor was saying last night is that most of them don't. Most of them don't can even consider that. They just, you know, they just go with what they're doing and they keep doing what they're doing. They don't try to get any help, you know, to fix whatever's going on. But how do we let the couple see who are in situations like that, that this is not a good situation, not only for them, but for the kids? Because as you said, the kids, they know what's going on. It's not like they don't know what's going on. And it's going to affect them adversely if you continue with this. How do we talk to the couple who's in a situation like that and try to get them to work it out or either and just end the marriage?
But you know what, Louis, the thing is, sometimes those are not the couples who come for the help.
Hmm.
So you can only get through to those that want the help. And you, if the wife is getting the help and the husband's not getting the help, then it's still not effective. Because the fact of the matter is we both have to be on the same page. Yes, the marriage is not 110%, but I'm going to show up. And I'm going to show up just because maybe there's a slight glimpse of hope that maybe, just maybe, if you value your marriage enough or have a slight glimpse of hope, then you're going to show up. But the problem is, if we're not getting them into the spaces then we're not able to reach them in any way, shape, or form because we're not getting them into the space. And oftentimes I say that the information that are being shared in rooms and spaces is not the people who need to hear it that are showing up to hear this information. It's 1 or maybe 2% of the people that show up. You talked about divorce yesterday, and the people who really needed to hear that dialogue and the level of gems and conversation that was being had was not in the space. And that's the problem. So we can only reach the people who are willing and want it. There are some people who will just self-sabotage themselves because of their own insecurities and their own strongholds and their own oppositions in their lives. That it's like, well, you know, divorce was always something that ran through their family. And they don't identify that, hey, this is a generational curse that's been in the family, that let me try a little bit harder to ensure that the marriage don't work. As well as I believe that people come into your lives for a reason and a season. You know, what do you do with two couples? They're like, well, we've been high school sweethearts and we just no longer fit the mold. But I feel like marriage is an evolving thing. I feel like any marriage, no matter what level it's at, there's room for it to bring back love and life. It's like a fireplace. No matter how the fire is gone, if you keep putting enough oil, if you keep putting enough gasoline or whatever you need to put on that wood and keep sparking, something's going to spark eventually. No matter what the wood is like, you eventually with some kerosene oil and some fire starter or whatever you got, something can be reignited. It's just that willingness of both parties. Let's go to couples retreat. Those things are still necessary. Couples retreat. We just got to keep promoting healthy Black love. That's just what I think. That promotion of healthy Black love is still in existence, especially to our young generation. We just got to continue to promote healthy Black love. That's why I love what you and Kelly are doing, because it's an amazing thing.
Okay, let's talk about that, because you know both of us are on Clubhouse. We're on there regularly.
Yes. Right?
And we go into the rooms with the brothers and sisters, and sometimes it's not pretty. Mm-mm. I'm just being honest. Sometimes it's not.
Absolutely.
So, and this is a problem. Where as you go into rooms with other ethnicities, and it's not like that. You know what I'm saying? It's cordial. You know what I'm saying? People are not talking down to each other.
Exactly.
You know, it's just a conversation. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
What can we do about that? What can we do about that?
I think that we attract who we are. We attract who we are, and it's unfortunate because certain mindsets of people are connected to certain mindsets of people. And I just think it's still important for you to be an example, because even when you don't think people are watching you, people are watching, and you never know who's watching you. So I feel like we just got to continue to show up. And as someone said this in the room last night, I know the statistics are high concerning divorce, but don't look so much at the negative. Look at the percentage of people that are still holding on to their marriages, that are still saying, listen, I'm not giving up on this thing without a fight. So there are those that are going to want to use, well, divorce rates are 49%, but that doesn't have to be you. It could be 50, it could be 51. That doesn't have to be you. And I think it's just the constant promotion of books and healthy marriages and healthy promotion of Black love and healthy promotion of love, period, that is going to continue to dismantle the stigmas. Because at the end of the day, people will be who they want to be. And at the end of the day, there just has to be a willingness, Lewis, for any of us to change. I say it all the time with my partner. I'm like, there has to be a willingness for him to grow and become the best version of who he needs to be. That cannot take place from me forcing that on him. That has to be him wanting to show up, do the work, and trust that the work that he is putting in will cause a result for something positive and effective to take place. So I believe in the power of one. I can't change everybody, but if I can change one, then I'm hoping that that person can go back and change someone else. So we unfortunately can't help the masses, but if we keep showing up and we keep being consistent, I feel like in our consistency, they're like, okay. Because people watch and they see, okay, are you being consistent? Are you being open, honest, and transparent? Because that is something that's super important as well to our audience. Just keeping it real. Yes, the divorce rate is high. Yes, there are times that I don't like my partner. Yes, there are times that I'm irritated. But here is the real deal. If I'm in it, I'm all the way in it because I understand that everything, even in a business, it takes work. You have to constantly show up. You have to constantly look for ways to improve and be a better version of yourself in anything. So a marriage or a relationship is no different. You will go through tough times because you're growing, he's growing. So she's growing. There has to be some changes, but it's the willingness to be able to adjust to these changes. And if you're unable to manage those changes, then you look into a therapist or a counselor or a coach or something, if you can afford that, to be able to assist you in the process.
Yeah. I was thinking about that. Sometimes I get frustrated with Kelly. She's trying to get me to wear plaid, you know?
That's simple.
She wanted to put me in this plaid jacket again, or, you know, it don't make no sense, man. Let's talk about this fashion thing. Let's go back to this fashion thing for a minute, you know, because, me and Kelly, we got some stuff going on, you know, probably the beginning of next year. So what do you think I should do here? Give me some tips on, you know, the type of wardrobe I need to get. In order to
get me out there, because I know Kelly's a fashionista. Because I'm like, listen, okay, sis, I hear you. I think fashion is a statement, and you got to try some of the things. And I'm confident that when you try some of Kelly's ideas, you'll be like, oh, this ain't bad. Because as we talked about in the room before, when you start trying it, there's a confidence, like, oh, you look nice. Those compliments start coming. You're like, wait a minute, this ain't too bad after all. So I believe, listen, give it a shot. I think life is too short, Lewis. And I feel like in this moment, COVID-19 has definitely shown me live in the moment. Try different things. Forget the rules. Throw the rules out the door and just go places and do things. And you only live once. And the fact that you have breath in your lungs and you got up to see today, tomorrow, next month, next year, listen, try something new. I think that is the beauty of life. We just got to be able to forget the rules. COVID-19 has definitely taught me to just embrace the now, live in the now. So, you know, try a plaid and try some solids. Like, oh, this is, it's different. It's launching you into the new.
Yes. Well, yeah, I'll tell you, boy. Y'all said, boy.
I see, Simone,
thanks for being on. Yeah,
absolutely.
This was dope, you know, so I really appreciate you coming on. All right, so just tell the people how to get in touch with you and tell them about Dear Future Husband, Dear Future Wife.
Well, Dear Future Husband, Dear Future Wife is a weekly relational platform that's currently held on Clubhouse Sundays and Wednesdays. I am getting ready to start a Monday. I feel like Monday is necessary. I've tried out Fridays and I feel like Fridays, not so great. So I'm going to probably be doing Sundays, Mondays, and Wednesdays at 8 p.m. Eastern. We are on Instagram, Dear Future Husband _ Wife. We're on Facebook, Dear Future Husband _ Wife. I'm on Clubhouse, Simone R. Johnson. I'm accessible. So you guys can reach me through Clubhouse, Facebook, Instagram. I'm everywhere because I make myself accessible to connect with you guys.
Thanks, Simone. I appreciate it.
No problem. It was an absolute pleasure chopping it up with you.
Yeah, it was, wasn't it? Yeah, I loved it. All right. I'm gonna see you, man.
Lewis, you're a cool guy.
Huh? I don't know.
I said you're a cool guy.
I think I'm trying to corny. That's what Kelly be telling me. You know,
that's what Kelly be talking.
Yeah, you kind of corny. You know what I'm saying? You kind of corny. I gotta tighten you up a little bit. She always trying to tighten me up.
Oh my God, Kelly, really?
I love it. Where you at? You went out on me.
Hang on one second. My phone shut down.
Yeah, okay. I love it though. It's all right. Yeah, I love it, man. So, She's always
that's pushing. Awesome. And I just want to let you guys know, like, your example of love and showing love is such a beautiful thing. So continue to just, you know, encourage us out here just looking at you guys. We know that relationships are not perfect, and it doesn't have to be, because we're two imperfect people. But yeah. I just want to commend you guys for what you're doing and the moves that y'all are getting ready to make together. It's going to be powerful.
Yeah.
Y'all are going to be the next power couple.
We trying. We having fun. We are having
That's the most important thing. Have fun with it.
Yeah, she mentioned to me the other day that you know, that she's never had a man include her in things like the way I do. You know.
Oh, that's amazing.
And I said to her, I said, well, you know, I said, why wouldn't I do that? You know what I'm saying? It's a partnership. I'm no longer by myself. I'm not by myself anymore. You know what I'm saying? She's here. You know what I'm saying? So I have to, you know, there has to be some inclusion, you know what I'm saying, because she's here. You know, so yeah, we just having fun with it, man. We are really enjoying ourselves, and she's gonna come out for Thanksgiving, you know, and spend it with my family, you know, and I'm looking forward to hanging out with her. You know, we're gonna, you know, eat some turkey and stuff, and then we're gonna go see that new Halle Berry movie, Bruise, with she MMA fighter. Yeah, so yeah, I'm looking forward to it. Yeah.
Oh, that's nice. I love it. Black love still exists, and I'm here for it.
Yeah, it does. Thanks, Simone. I appreciate it. I'll see you around. You know we're going to be on them Clubhouse streets.
Tonight at 8 p.m., we will be back on live talking about some hot topics. So I look forward to it.
All right. See you, Simone. Have a good one.
All right. Thanks, Louis. Have a great day.
You too.
Bye-bye.
Bye. Yeah, that was Simone Johnson. I want to thank her for coming on the program. She is phenomenal. She is the founder and CEO of Styled by Simone Johnson. And she's also a relationship and personal coach and the creator and founder of Dear Future Husband, Dear Future Wife, that is currently on the Clubhouse app. If you can get over there and join that particular club, it will be worth your while, because she's always bringing the heat with great moderators about relationship issues and how people can prepare for the marriage space. I encourage you all the time to follow me on Instagram at Lewis_Mars_coaching for daily relationship tips and advice. We're always trying to help the couples and singles navigate the relationship realm. Also, we have the 90-second pitch to get hitched club over on Clubhouse. It is just as it sounds. Singles who are looking for marriage in a committed relationship, they come into the club, come into the room. We have it on Mondays and Wednesdays at 4 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. And they come on stage and they do a 90-second pitch to their potential partner who may be in the room. First, you start by saying your name. And then you say your occupation, and then say something interesting about yourself. Maybe say what you're looking for in a spouse or in a partner, and see what happens on Clubhouse. You have the back channels and the private rooms that you can go to continue the conversation. And we encourage that on the 90-second pitch to get hits club and rooms. And again, it's on Clubhouse Mondays and Wednesdays at 4 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Please come over and check that out. And also, I have the Heart Matters Club, which is the extension of the Heart Matters podcast over on Clubhouse. Please come over and join the club. As we were talking about, Simone and I, we had a spirited room last night where we were talking about the high divorce rate. And Mrs. Toy Banks came in and just blew up the room, and it was fantastic. We had a fantastic conversation, a lot of insights. I learned a lot. And I think a lot of other people did as well. So please go over and join the Heart Matters Club on Clubhouse and join the conversation. Also, the new book is available, The Patterns of the Power Couple. Please pick up your copy of The Patterns of the Power Couple. It is chock full of information, and it is not about fame and wealth. No, it's about sustaining a marriage, keeping a marriage together, and the patterns that people, the 51% who have kept their marriage going, there are patterns there that they follow in order to sustain and maintain that very special and spiritual bond that they have made themselves a part of. So pick up the patterns of the power couple by going to the resource section in the on the website, which is lewismorriscoaching.com. That's LuisMorris.com. The patterns of the power couple, pick it up by going to the resource section on the website, lewismorriscoaching.com. We have some fantastic things coming up. Kelly and I are open for business. The relationship rescue plan with Lewis and Kelly, premarital coaching, postmarital coaching, dating coaching, whatever you want as far as the relationship realm, Kelly and I are open for business. You can go to the website and check that out as well and schedule a call with Kelly and I, and we look forward to speaking with you. I thank you guys for all of your support, and I will speak to you again soon.
Thanks for listening to another episode of the Heart Matters Podcast. For relationship, spiritual, coaching, and resources, go to the Heart Matters brand link tree, which is linktr.ee/LuisMorris. That's linktr.ee/LuisMorris, and we will see you again soon.